I missed the golf outing. But I went last year. Yeah, see, well. Scott helped me out. I used the little end of the club this time to hold. So that was good. Anyway, here's your book. If you're new today, you'll get a Kingdom Thoughts book. It's a great book by Pastor. And you get a free T-shirt that has our logo and our mission statement on it, Live Life on Purpose. And I wanted to bring this to your attention. So this is really cool. And so a lot of pastors have got together for this, and so I wanted to jump on the bandwagon and do this as well. There's a letter, and then you can, I think it's out at the guest center. But there's a letter here. If you, like, we come from the Mansfield area to come to church, and so we pass those ball fields. You ever pass those ball fields? And they are packed with people a lot of times on Sundays. And I'm not against baseball or sports or anything. I played them all when I was growing up. But what we're liking is we're seeing if there's a way that they could do all that, like, not till 1 o'clock. So because there's families that want to go to church and they miss church because their kids are enrolled in that. And so that's just, so we're just asking, you know, can we keep that up? It'd be a great family day and people could go out after church and that kind of thing. So there's a letter out there and you just send it to wherever school you go to their athletic director and just say, this is, I mean, if you're not in agreement with it, then don't send it. If you're like, no, I like that, that's okay. I'm just saying it's come to our attention and so, you know, we wanted to support people as a family being in the house of God, and so that's why that's there. Okay? And again, you make the call on that. Let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless you guys. Good to have you with us. My daughter sent me this. She said, if Jesus is the Lamb of God and Mary is Jesus' mother, then is the song true? Mary had a little lamb. Okay. Well, this, yeah, those are free and good that they are. Anyway, I'm Pastor Brett, and my lovely wife is down in the front there. And we're just privileged to be here today to be your pastors and watch this church really starting to take off, and we're excited. Now, this series is actually, we're getting some questions, and I'm okay with that, and I think you should be too. I think it's all right because the Word has the answers, doesn't it? And the Word of God and His Spirit inside us has the answers, and there's questions that people are asking, and one of those questions, and before I get started, I'm just going to, I'll briefly, how's that? And then maybe we'll explain it a little as we get through it, but because we've been talking about life is in your mouth. You know, you choose life, and we're gonna get there. So then we're saying, okay, if something happens and this is happening to you, did you bring it on yourself? That's a good question. But as we get into it, again, life is in your mouth. I'm not saying that you may have the power to bring it on yourself, but you may have opened the door by your words to be in agreement with something that's not in agreement with the Word, and we don't even realize it. I'm guilty of that myself. Has anybody else ever been? And found yourself saying, ah. And so we'll get through some of those things. Some of them are not as fun to hear because we have to take accountability and responsibility for our actions and for ourselves. But anyway, I want to live, I don't know about you, but I like living in divine health where I'm completely healthy. I'm not there, but I'm going to be there. How's that? So see, I kind of canceled out what I just said. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to be there. In other words, you know, I want to live whole. I want to live the way that God wants me to live. And listen to this. Now, just so that you know, faith receives what grace has already provided. I teach this totally different than I would have years ago because God has brought me to a new place. Always backed up with the Word, so I'm not a weirdo or anything like that. I'm just saying, He pulls up things that I'm like, okay, I didn't quite get that before. I guess I misinterpreted that or didn't understand it as much. Faith doesn't move God, because I used to teach that. God's not stuck. How many knows that's true? God's not stuck. Faith doesn't move God. Faith is for us. Faith is for us. It's for us to receive what grace has already provided. Jesus already paid for everything on the cross. It is our faith. How many times has Jesus said, your faith? Your faith. It moves us to go, okay, I believe that. Because we have this mindset in the world that God is, we understand what sovereignty means if you look up the definition. But in men's text, it's just like, well, God does what he wants when he wants, and it just kind of que sera, like Doris Day, what will be, will be. That's not biblical. And that's not how God works. He has defined what he does and how he does it in his word. So we need to learn more about faith, how it works, how we can connect with it, how our faith can get the desired result that's already been provided. Have you ever been told by somebody, it hasn't happened because you don't have enough faith? I don't know about you, I've been told that. Sometimes it's like it feels like a blazing left hook or a sucker punch or a gut punch. And usually, you know who tells you? It's usually a believer. That's not what the word says. If you believe that you don't have enough faith, I have taught this now, and I'm like, that is incredible. But if we believe we don't have enough faith, you're believing a lie. Romans 12, they might say something in Romans 12. God gave everybody a measure, and you just got a small portion compared to others. Now, I understand some of that when it comes to natural ability. How many have had somebody that, you know, there's somebody that are just natural athletes, and there's other people you're like, they would trip over air. You get that. But we're talking about faith. Romans 12, 2, and I'm taking it from the King James because all these other versions, we all jump off the King James. And other versions will say a measure, but the King James says the measure. For I say the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Turn to your neighbor and say the. We have the measure, not just a measure. You have the measure. And see, and here's the thing. This is about faith. You have to believe that you have what you need because he gave you the measure. I mean, if we were in a soup line and we're all up here and they come up and people are just, it's the same ladle. They're ladling soup out. When they get up to you, no soup for you, 2 weeks. All you Seinfeld fans should be happy. He doesn't do that. He gave the measure. It was the measure that is used. Now, our natural faith exists by experience. What we know is true. Sitting in a chair. If I sat in the chair beside PK, I sat in that chair every week. I know it'll hold me. So, I get it. I've sat in it over and over and over again. Or you turn on the light comes on. That's experience. Those are laws at work. There's a law of gravity. Even if I don't believe in gravity, gravity still will work. If I could dive off this platform, I won't fly around the room. I tried that when I was little. 15 stairs up. Doesn't work, just so you know. And it doesn't matter if you have a cape or not, just so you know. I didn't try it twice. I was not that dumb, but anyway. Faith does operate by laws, and the kingdom is full of laws. Seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, we control the harvest. Those are laws. I can't change those. Even if I choose not to believe them, the law still is working. It might not be working for me because I have chose to reject it. It still works. Now, let me rephrase that. Whether I believe gravity or not, it still works. So let me go back and say, the kingdom is still working. If you will use the laws the way God has given them, you will find they work for you. Let's dig this deeper. When we get saved, when we give our hearts to Jesus, what's deposited in us? We just read it in Romans 12, 2. Let's look at like a supernatural faith that comes on the inside of you. When you receive Jesus, it is the measure. Not a measure, the measure. You have the Jesus kind of faith that comes in you, and he had that resurrection power faith. the dead kind of, I'll just raise people from the dead, heal blind eyes, lame people walk. That kind of faith lives inside you. And that's more than enough faith to do any job that you and I are believing for. You think Jesus was ever lacking in the faith department? Do you think Jesus ever said, I just don't know if this word's going to work. I don't know if it's true. Am I really the Son of God? Am I the Messiah? I mean, I don't think Jesus had those questions. But you have the Jesus measure of faith. He knew who he was. His mother knew who he was. His father knew who he was. The measure, not a measure, but the measure, the total measure, nothing lacking. I never looked at it like that before. As soon as you get saved, you get the measure of faith. He put it in you. That's incredible. That means a saint that's been saved for 50 years has the measure of faith, and so do you. The biggest step that you and I have is accepting Jesus. Then we're, I guess that would be the faith expert, wouldn't it? The most important step of all. Sometimes that's the hardest step, isn't it? To yield to God. But when we do that, if we really think about it, the rest is kind of downhill because you got home base covered. There's nothing that Jesus can't take care of. You and him together. That's a game changer. The minute I didn't receive Christ, I didn't have that. As soon as I said yes to Jesus, I got the measure. That's huge. Faith has action to it. You didn't just wake up, find out that you were saved. Oh, I'm saved? Oh, okay. You didn't accidentally fall into salvation. Now, I have in the past been pushed to go down front. I don't know if you've ever had that where people kind of pressure you. You need to go down front. You need to give your life to Jesus. I'm not doubting that, but it's like, I don't really know who you are. I don't want to go down there. But they would do that. And sometimes I would just say whatever they wanted me to say so I could get back to my seat. That's probably not right, but that's what happened. But when I understood what I'm doing and I gave my heart to Jesus, I didn't just do it accidentally. I knew what was happening. God didn't just pop me with some Tinkerbell dust. You're saved. All it takes is faith and trust. He didn't do that. I had to understand that, God, I need you. Above everything else, I need you. I had a part to play in it as well. And that's what faith, we have a part to play. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, God doesn't just, there's not a ripcord on your tongue and he just pulls it and it just, you have to decide to speak the words he gives you. So there's a promise. You have a part to play, but God, he designed you. How many know that God designed you? He's so amazing that everybody in here has a different thumbprint. You don't even have the same thumbprint as anybody. It's unique. So you are thumb buddy. God has put his stamp on you and said, I made you. He wants fellowship with you. And he made a way for you before you were ever born. He knew you before you ever knew him. And he promised a place for you. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. And to the glory of God through us. God's already made his mind up about you, and it's good. He loves you. Jesus contains all the promises. He fulfilled all of them for you and I. That's pretty amazing. But we still have a job. We have to cooperate. We have to consent. We have to speak. I want that promise. Do you want it? If you want the promise, then you have to cooperate with God. We put the amen to God's yes. Amen means so be it. That's what amen means. God says yes, we say amen. So our faith Our believing is our response to what grace has already provided. If God provided it, we say amen to that, so be it. God, you want me to have that? So be it. So many times growing up in church, I thought God, it just happened automatically. All his promises just happened. We have people that say, well, it's God's will. No matter what happens, it's God's will. If it's nasty, it's God's will. I don't think so. I don't think there's a word that you can use to back that up. We just think that God set it up, so it's going to happen. God provided for salvation. If that's true, then the whole world should be saved, right? But it's not. It's his will. He gave us a free will to choose and follow. So his will says he wants us saved, he wants us healed, he wants us delivered, he wants us prosperous, he wants us in relationship with him. So does his will automatically, or does it even always come to pass? This isn't a trick question. I would be in this, if somebody would ask me when I was in church years ago, and they said, does God's will always come to pass? If you think it does, you just raise your hand. And so I would have probably said, oh yeah, well, it's God, sure. If it doesn't, you could raise your hand. And we could sit here and, I'm not doing that to you. So you don't have to raise your hand. But it's not a trick question. We're learning together. God doesn't want, the Bible says in Peter, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anybody to die and perish and not go to heaven. He wants all to know who he is. There is a place called hell, but he didn't create it for us. It's made for the devil and his demons. It's not made for you. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but we know that some will. It doesn't automatically happen. His will doesn't automatically happen. Just think, if it did, we'd all be robots. We wouldn't do anything for ourselves. We couldn't think, we couldn't dress, we couldn't eat. We couldn't pick a good football team or a bad one like the Steelers. We couldn't. Just seeing if anybody was awake. People, I'm out of here. I'm not. We'd have no choice, and our relationship wouldn't be so good. It would just be one-sided. That's why you have a free will. It creates want and intimacy, a desire to do what's right, to be able to choose. You can choose him or not choose him. I can't make you choose him. To receive his promises or not to receive his promises. I can't make you do that. You have to believe those. You have to know that his word and his will. And that's how that happens. You know, that's where faith really begins, where you know where the will of God is known. Where you know, hey, this is his will. I got to believe that. Do you know that sometimes you got to believe that and you might like, but I've not been taught that. Okay. Really, most of us haven't been taught all the things. I still have so much to learn. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Now, God's given us a hint. Choose life. Now, back in the day, there's a show, and I'm telling you the truth, I never watched it, Beavis and Butthead. I don't know who designed it. I don't know who came up with that. But you'd have to be Beavis and Butthead to not, I mean, God's made this so easy. You're like, okay, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe, you know, then okay, you got issues. God has made it so easy. Let me give you one if you don't know what that one is. Forrest Gump. I might not be a smart man, but sickness, wellness. I think I'll take wellness. Poverty, prosperity. I think I'll take prosperity. Why would people believe God wants us sick? I mean, that's crazy. This is what we've been taught. People will say this, and I'm just, see, it's really quiet because I'm saying things that nobody wants to talk about. Well, God's trying to teach me something. I believe it's his will. He's just trying to teach me a lesson. Okay? Why then do you go to the doctor? God's trying to teach you something. Wouldn't that be kind of counterproductive? God wants you sick. Don't go get well. It's quiet. Don't go against God. That's not what God wants. He wants you well. He's looking for people who will just believe him. People that will just say, God, you are God. I don't want to just, if I don't understand it, I don't want to make up my own doctrine. Isn't that what we've done as men and women? We just make it up. Well, if we don't understand it, okay. I mean, I've seen so many things and I'm like, God, I don't get it. Been to part of a, just praying for people, and there was deliverance happening. And I could see stuff was happening. But the person that I was praying with for the person that we were praying to get delivered said, no, 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 you have to cough and spit up or you're not really delivered. Is that in here? And I'm like, what? Because if we don't understand it, well, it didn't happen for me. So we just make up something else. That's not how it works. In him we live, we move, we have our being. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let the greater one that's in you be greater than the one that's in the world. Let him explain to you or show you in his word. Matter of fact, in that particular case, we just prayed for the person. I just prayed for them and they got delivered and they didn't spit up at all. But there was evidence that they were free. Let me say this. Traditions of men will make void the power of God. Traditions of men. In other words, well, that's not the way we've always done it. This is how we know it. This is how it works. Could you imagine walking with Jesus and he spits in the mud and is going to put it on somebody's eye? I don't know if there's a mud spitting class. Maybe they started that after that. I don't know. But I'm sure, you know, people were like, I don't like that. But he didn't do that. There's no record of him. I mean, that's not something that he did all the time. And he still opened people's eyes, and he never put mud on. You know what I'm saying? But whatever God is saying, he might tell you to do something. I need you to do this. I need you to believe. Go dip 7 times. Why not 6? Because he said 7. Okay. This is about us just listening to the Spirit of God and doing what God wants us to do. If it doesn't line up with the word, we need to be wise enough that it might appear to be good. It doesn't mean it's God. It has to line up with the word. I want to say yes to the best. I want God's way. In this life, how many knows that God wants good things for you in this life? He does. That's not a trick question either. But we kind of have not been taught that. Not just, we've been taught, well, when we get to heaven, there'll be streets of gold. Yes, there's streets of gold. But why do we pray as it is in heaven, as earth as it is in heaven? Why do we pray that? Because God wants you to understand he wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to others here. 18 of Luke 29 and 30, he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. You'll get it in this life if you walk with God and you're like, you believe his promises. Remember the songs we used to sing? They're not bad songs, but we would base our whole theology on them. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Can we not rejoice now? Do we have to wait till we get to heaven? I think God wants us to rejoice now. Who wants a sourpuss Christian? You have Jesus. I sure do. I'm not going to be happy till I get to heaven, but when I get there, I'm going to look different. When the roll is called up yonder, is that a bagel? No, all I'm trying to do, I know I'm making light of this, but all I'm trying to say is God wants you to enjoy life now. There's nothing wrong. It's okay. Those songs can be good, but we need to put them in perspective. Men's take on traditions, we will make void the power of God if we just say, it's got to be this way. This is it. What if God says, that's not it? God isn't in any lack of power. The Holy Spirit hasn't been losing any power. There's no shortage of power in God's kingdom. 13:8 says it of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is just saying, who will believe my word? And see, we just wait on every... I need 17 confirmations. I'm telling you, if you want to just let God speak to you and then just do what he says. You don't have to have 17 confirmations. What are you willing to believe versus what others are telling you to believe? I mean, I didn't know a whole lot about God, and I got so much more to learn, so please understand. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody. The only reason I'm standing up here is because the platform is this tall. But I mean, I got saved. And I knew something changed. I knew something inside was different. I knew something. And I've told you this story, so I'm going to condense it really quick. I got saved, and people were saying, what's different about you? And I was working at Ponderosa. That's where I met Pastor Kim. She wasn't working there yet. I was working at Ponderosa, and I had just gotten saved, and so I was excited about what God was doing. I don't know what I was just excited. But anyway, we had an all-you-could-eat ribeye shrimp sale. How many remember stuff like that? Remember Ponderosa? So I was their head cook. And the night was over, and so we, since it was an all-you-could-eat shrimp and ribeye and all that stuff, we were changing the grease. And this is all in the same time frame. We went out with the grease and set it down, and the floor was slippery, and we had to change the grease out. I was trying to set it down. Well, I slipped, and I took my whole arm and dunked it in that big tub. And I just poured it out of the fryer. I mean, we had just closed down. And I remember all I said. Now, remember, I don't know squat. All I know is Jesus. That's it. My arm went down in, and all I said was, Jesus! Pulled my arm out. And the grease on my arm bubbled up like when you wax your car and it rains. It just bubbled up. And my arm didn't get burned at all. And there was a guy standing back there that was closing the kitchen. He goes, I don't believe I've ever seen anything like that. We went and got shrimp because, I mean, I'm a dude, so if I can eat, that was good. So we and you know what? They cooked up just like that. But my arm never got burnt. That was just one of those cases. And in that same time frame, they had an all-you-could-eat ribeye thing. The ribeyes got frozen. They didn't pull enough out to thaw, and they had a freezer out back. They had them all stuffed in there, and there's a line out the door, and the managers were out there trying to get the lock open, and it was iced over. It had rained and then froze, and it was just like it was in an ice cube. They couldn't get the key in there, and they had their lighters out, and they're trying to melt the ice and trying to get a key in there. And I'm just standing back there. So I went left the line. And this is all I can tell you. I remember the Lord told me to grab a hold of the lock. And I didn't hear an audible voice at that point. I just felt to grab a hold of the lock and pull it in his name. There were probably 8 employees there. 3 managers. Everybody standing around there. And I just kind of wielded my way through the crowd, grabbed that lock and said, in Jesus' name. Went like that. And the lock opened. Thunk. And everybody gasped. And I walked out and I was like, that was awesome. And they're like, how did you do that? And the manager goes, oh, we, you know, da 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 da. And the other manager goes, I have the key. So they didn't even unlock it. God just did that. I spent the next several months witnessing to people on and off. I don't know. They'd ask me, how do you? I don't know. What did that feel like? Pretty good. God's power is always on, you guys. It's always on. It never shut off. It just stays on. It's always available. And you carry it around you wherever you go because you have the measure of faith. Let me ask this. How's the power over here? Okay. I'll be back. How's the power in the center section? Power on this side. Online.
That's really good.
Okay. This side, how's your power? If we got Jesus, we have power. It's never off. It's always yes and amen. But to tap into the power of God, faith is the access code. Faith is how we access the promises of God that grace has already provided. What is that? That means you have to believe what God has already provided. You have a part to play, and that power will flow through us, through your body, through the people around you. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. People that are watching online and those in here, how many have freely received? So we need to freely give. Hard to give if you haven't received. Faith is not passive in itself. It isn't weak, it isn't timid, it isn't intangible. Remember, again, I say, Jesus saw their faith. Never have I seen such faith in Jerusalem, he tells the soldier. Your faith has made you well, he tells the woman with the issue of blood. All those things, he saw their faith. You can see faith in people. You can see it in their lives. You can see what God has done in their lives. The words they speak, the actions they take. It's real, it's tangible. It's a force to be reckoned with. You can tell the people that are walking by faith. Hebrews 11:1-2, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for it is by the elders obtained a good testimony. If you hope for anything, that's why you're here. How many have stuff you still need to believe for, or you still need to happen? Okay, that's hope. You know there's more. Somewhere inside, you know there's more. Church hasn't just like, we've arrived. We've never arrived. That's when we can say, when we all get to heaven, then we'll arrive. But God has more in store for you. He believes in you so much that he sent his son to die for you. But if you didn't believe that there's more, you wouldn't be here. Some of you, I think, wouldn't even be alive today if you didn't have any hope. Because hope gives birth to faith. Faith is the substance. It's the manifestation of things you're hoping for. Hope doesn't disappoint. We need a godly hope. I remember God telling my wife, you need to hope. Get your hopes up. Because there are wonderful people, but they were saying, oh, you shouldn't hope. You need to hope. Godly hope is linked to imagination. What can you see? What are you looking at? If Jesus was here, he'd be doing this. Eyes on me. Eyes on me. What are you looking at? Hope is your imagination. What are you seeing? Do you see yourself well? Do you see yourself prosperous? Do you see yourself helping people? Do you see your family reunited? We all can use our imagination some way. God gave you that. I have people tell me I don't have an imagination. If I ask you how many windows are in the front of your house, you'd go, And you would see your house, and you'd count the windows, and you'd tell me, how did you do that? Your imagination. Because you could see your house. Change is coming. You know it, or you wouldn't be here today. I have had to picture myself healed. I've had to picture myself strong. I've had to picture myself, and still am, getting thinner all the time. Yes! Delivered, restored, prosperous, not in pain. How many get out of bed and you go and your body says, no. You want to tell your body, shut up? Yeah. See, you all know, we all go like, Man, I want to still have the twinkle in my eye. Moses was 80 before he did anything. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that just a number? But we have to start believing God, if I got to be in health, how do I put my hand to that? How do I help? I'm not just, this isn't just we lay and we're lazy. Faith is active. Substances of things that you hope for, they start showing up in the physical world. It's faith manifested. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith has evidence. How do you know when you're in faith? That's a good question. Because there's evidence associated with it. There's pieces of the puzzle that are pointing to it. We don't have to see it in the physical realm. We are looking in the spiritual realm. Believing isn't seeing. Seeing is believing. I know that sounds like the Santa Claus, but the phrase is still true. It happens in the spiritual realm first. So kind of we are seeing it from the inside out. Faith pulls things that are in the spiritual realm into the physical realm. I was telling this to PK today. Faith doesn't care what it looks like. Faith doesn't care what it feels like. It's operating outside, entirely outside your five senses. And the enemy attacks you in the natural realm in your five senses. So you need to understand when we are pulling from God, you are getting supernatural. The measure is activating, and you're going to be pulling strength from outside of your senses. What happens? Say if we fail. Then we taint our faith, so to speak. Oh, I blew it. You know you blew it, or whatever. Then we act like, okay, I don't know how it's going to happen because I just blew it. Start over. I mean, I hate to say if at first you don't succeed, try again. But I mean, if you had a negative experience, ask the Lord to show you what made it negative. Is there something you did? Is there something you allowed? Is there something that you spoke? What's your belief system saying? There's people that, oh, they've got the flu, I'll get the flu. The whole family will get it. People come up and say, oh, my allergies are acting up. I get that. Why would you call them yours? You just claimed them. And you're saying, Brett, that's nitpicky. You are hung by the tongue. We have to understand that we have to speak life. Because the word is either true or it isn't. So you can't just pull out, well, I like this one. I don't like that one. If it says sickness can't come nigh my dwelling, is that what it means? So then if it comes, did God bring it? Maybe I better check what I'm saying. Maybe I better check what I'm believing. Sometimes we say things and we don't believe them. And we just say, well, people know my heart. Well, God does know your heart. But actually, faith is voice activated. So is doubt. So is unbelief. And just like the enemy uses that too. So you can activate things in your life that you don't want activated. How many things do you have in your life that shouldn't be there because you have spoke them? I don't want to put my belief in just my experiences. I want to put my belief in what the Word says. Now let me, because we get this messed up, and these are fine lines, but we need to understand them. When it comes to, let's say we're sowing, the Bible says as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. If we give generously, then we'll reap generously. If we give sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. Sowing and reaping is long, you know, all of that. And so we say, okay, because I gave, this law is in effect, this will happen. That is true, but not. Because now you're saying it's because of something you did. That's self-righteous. And you're like, well, I don't get it. Faith without works. Listen to me, and I'll explain. We have to pull this onion back a little bit. There's nothing I can do to trump what Jesus did. Amen? So because the Word says to give, and it'll be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and I gave because the Word says that, then I can expect this because the Word says it. It sounds like the same thing, but it's not. Because before, I'm basing it on my action. Faith without works is dead. I get it. But my action is according to the Word of God. Do you understand that layer? We need to understand that because Jesus did everything on the cross. If we think that we, because of our own behavior, do you know no matter if you act like a stinky bug, he still loves you? There's nothing you can do that would make him love you more. There's nothing you can do that would make him love you less. Romans 8:6, for the carnally minded is death, but to the spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we stay faith-minded, spiritually minded, we walk in life and peace. I like that. Faith and hope work together. Biblical hope points to, it just paints that picture on the inside of what you're hoping for. What do you see? What's God telling you to believe for? Okay. Faith is substance. What? Things hope for. That's your substance. What are you hoping for? Instead of seeing yourself sick and saying, I hope I get well, hope changes the picture of how you see yourself. Do you see yourself well and completely healed? Starts on the inside, resisting sickness. I'm not a sick person getting well. I'm a well person fighting off sickness. How's that sound? It's just perspective. Hope says, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord, no matter what it looks like on the outside. Because faith doesn't care what it looks like, doesn't care what it feels, because it doesn't operate in the five sense realm. It's not touching, seeing. It's not any of those. Hope uses your spiritual imagination. It paints the picture. So faith can put action to that picture. Okay? When action from faith happens, it goes, you believe something and you're acting on it. I see it so much. I believe it. I meditate on that. That word is in me. It's just part of who I am now. Now I see this. They ask one year, now this isn't about getting well, but they ask a Miss America one time, did you ever see yourself walking down this, I guess, platform or runway? And she said, I've seen it thousands of times. Because she put it in her mind. Your imagination's an amazing, powerful thing. Everything in the kingdom happens by faith. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and do not doubt. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Do not doubt. Your belief system, what are you really believing? It's not lazy. Faith isn't lazy for a believer. It's not passive. It goes after what already belongs to it. Think about what I just said. Faith goes after what already belongs to it. I'm gonna show you this, and then we're about finished here. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the New King James. Now faith is. Now means now. Now faith is. I believe there's people that are getting their healing now. People are watching online now, getting what they needed now. They're getting revelation now. Something feels different in them now. God has promised you healing, and you have let the devil steal it from you. I have done that too, but I'm telling you, no more. I'm living whole now. I'm believing God for some nows in my life. How many want nows in their life? God, I need you now. I need you to move now. I need to believe this now. I'm taking back today. This is a new day. Take back what the enemy's stolen. Take back the land. Take back the finances. Take back the relationships that have gone astray. Take back the health. Take back the wealth. God, I'm believing you now. Faith has an attitude. I love this in the Amplified version, so I'm saying it loud because it's amplified. Now, faith is the assurance. Listen to what I'm saying here. This is great. The title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Oh, my word. Shut the front door. Faith is the title deed. Faith is the proof of ownership. There's a difference between fact and truth. We know that. Fact is a negative. You know, it could be a negative doctor's report. Here's the fact. You have this. But that's not the truth. See how quiet it is. You have to deny the facts to be in faith. Well, we could ask this question. Do we have to deny the facts? No, we do not. Faith is not denial. Faith is just denying the trump of the truth. Faith is denying the facts to trump the truth. That's a mouthful to say that. I couldn't say that five times fast. If you don't want a doctor's report, don't go to the doctor. Don't get it and then say, I don't believe it. Okay, that could be the fact. If you need the fact, that's okay. I'm not telling you you can't go to the doctor. God uses doctors, so don't give me hate mail. I get it. But don't get it and then just say, I don't believe it. You ask for the report. Say the leg or the x-ray says the leg is broken. You're not in denial. X-ray's there, bones broke. That's the fact. But you're going to speak different. You're going to speak truth to the fact. Father, I thank you that you're going to mend this leg. And it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Now, sometimes, I'm just telling you, I've seen God do some amazing things. I've seen God heal completely, very quickly. I've seen him heal just like that. We did a VBS when we were first in ministry, and the little boy had broken his leg the day before and came to VBS that next day. He went home that night. VBS usually is in the morning or early afternoon. And he came back, and he was on crutches. And I was going up front because I was in charge of VBS. There's like 200 kids. That was a big VBS. And we were going to sing songs, you know, Father Abraham had many sons. You know, all those fun songs they like. The devil doesn't like it. He can sit on attack. Ouch! You know, all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm getting ready to do that. And they get me. Pee, 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 pee. Will you pray for him? This is my cousin. He broke his leg last night. And he's got a temporary cast on it. They're putting a cast on it later today. Can you pray for him? I said, sure. He said, well, you said God heals. Will you pray for him? Yeah. And I'm telling you, I wasn't spiritual. I wasn't even thinking spiritual. And I love to say, yes, my beloved child, I shall pray for you. It was nothing like that. I was just like, yeah, 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 I got to go. I got to go. Do you believe God will heal you? I do. Okay, Jesus, heal that leg. Amen. Put her there. All right, I'm out. And gone. During the VBS, I'm watching this kid. He's got both crutches under one arm now. And he's just kind of standing there. I thought, that's different. And then when it was all over, he was standing by the door and he was holding them. He was holding them. They went to the doctor and his grandmother was bringing him to VBS. Thank God for godly grandmas. His mom was not a believer. So she took him to the doctor. The doctor went in. He looked at him. Looked at the mother, he said, we need to get another x-ray. They went and took an x-ray of the kid's leg again, not broke, completely not broke, bone back together like it never happened. The doctor had the broken x-ray and the one, and he goes, I don't understand this. And the little boy, 8-year-old boy, turns around, turns his head, looks at his mother and says, now do you believe mommy? She just puts her head down. She was in church. You cannot deny what God can do. We just have to understand Jesus has already provided for it. Faith is just the access code to get in on what grace has already done. We don't live in denial. I know things happen and this is going on. I mean, I got stung by a hornet just last week, swelled my leg up and all that. It was there. No doubt. I mean, I had on a pair of jeans, and it was not good. It was real tight. Blisters came on my leg like that. But you know what we did? We prayed for it. What are my choices? Let's cut it off. Those are not good choices. Do I like what happened? No. Was that fact? Yes. But the truth is, my God heals today. So we began to pray for it, and it immediately started getting better. Now faith is. It is the title deed. It is the ownership that you have. Remember, faith doesn't operate in the five senses. We got information from that, and that's the carnal realm. Yeah, there's pain. Yeah, there's, I see the blister. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Faith is past that. Jesus would be saying, eyes on me. What are you looking at, Brett? What are you looking at? And see, we got people that would be all hung up. Well, then why did a hornet sting you? That hornet should have never come. Probably shouldn't have. Well, what happened? I don't know. Evidently, I made it mad. I had a lawnmower. He didn't like it. So I have come to the deduction all hornets don't have mowed lawns. Somehow I made it mad. I don't know, you know, but it's one of those. So listen, this is what changed. Did I want it to sting me? No, I did not. Did it? Yes, it did. But how do I have to reach past my senses? God, you heal this. And so that night, blisters popped. I didn't pop them. They just popped. It just started getting better. I wrapped it. I did a couple things, did whatever I was supposed to do. I spoke to it. And believe me, when you're in pain, you speak to it a lot, don't you? Because you know it's there. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't do that, but I thank him that it's healed. And I would see myself without that hindering me. Because what's faith? It is that is the title deed, reaching out to something and pulling it back in. And I immediately started acting on what I was believing, and things started changing. Remember this, faith is perceived as fact, what is not revealed to the senses. It has a different report. Our senses say this, faith says something different. Your senses might say, yep, it's faith is saying, duh, what do you see now? Isaiah says this, whose report will you believe? We have the opportunity to believe the report of the Lord or not. It's up to us. Now, I know sometimes it's harder to preach when it's so quiet, but it's okay because we need to process some stuff. And I'm not trying to give you anything that's not in the Word. And you can take everything I said and match it to the Word. If I said anything that was out of context, I'm sorry, I don't believe I did. But I've seen God do some amazing things. That the only thing I can say is my part was I was the jumper cable. That was me. I didn't heal him. Jesus already healed him 2,000 years ago. We just tapped in to what had already been provided for. And I just was the connection of that to this. And that's you. I asked the guys, put on some music and I want you to just think for a second. Where are you at today? What's going on in your mind and in your heart? And I know there's not a lot of what we're talking about today being preached out there. It's not the you know, the dessert message of who, but it's God, help me get to that level. Help me get to the person you want me to be. That there is power in the words I speak because greater are you that's in me. I'm going to tell you the last story and we're closing. Kim and I went to, I don't know how long we were married. I don't think we had any kids. We got up and went to Bob Evans for breakfast. I mean, it was just one of those, it was a Saturday and I could see Jesus eating biscuits and gravy. No, I couldn't. Anyway, just got her up and said, let's go to breakfast. And she's like, yeah, let's go. So we went to breakfast. While we were having breakfast, a guy, I don't know if he was having a heart attack or was choking or something, fell off the stool and fell on the ground. People were screaming and yelling. And I'm sitting there like, is anybody going to help him? And everybody's just like, ah! Something inside me said, you're the one. So I got up. She already knew he's going to do it. So I went over and I looked at someone and I said, I need you to call 911. And they just looked at me and they went like, what? I said, 911, call him. Go call him right now. And so they did. And I picked up his head and made sure he didn't have anything, you know, and I did what I needed to do and treated him for shock. And you could hear the sirens coming and woo. And then the squad came in, he was coming back too. I got up, went back, sat down, started eating my biscuits and gravy. And there were people that were just like, and Bob Evans, the person goes, we're not going to charge you for your food. I was like, well, that's cool, but thanks. My point, why am I telling you that? Somebody had to act. Somebody had to do something. God wants to use you. Maybe that won't happen to you. And I pray it doesn't happen to me again. That wasn't any fun, but I don't know who that man is, but he's alive unless something's happened to him since then. But I knew inside, God was like, get over there. For a moment like this, he's trained you to pray for that child, to pray for your finances to change, for your belief system to change. God, is there more? Maybe I'm not seeing it. Is there something I've activated by my mouth that I don't need to, that I need to break? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, in the